an excellent operation experience in the restaurant solves most issues, most all problems, right? If I can make it right, if I can make it great, if I can meet your expectations, you're going to continue to come back.
You can always drive traffic into your restaurant, but if you are not able to give them the experience which they can remember, you're probably not going to have them back. That's a big, big challenge in the industry today.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Tech Bites. Today, we're honored to have the entire board of advisors in person here in Cowboys Club in Frisco. So we've got Mr. Kendall Ware. He's been part of the board from the very beginning. Thanks for joining us in person here. Then we've got Mo Askari. He was the second board member we've added. A lot of valuable insight that he's added to the company. And of course, this year, last year we did not have Pankaj, but this year we also have Pankaj. First of all, congratulations on your new role as CTO of Raising Cane's.
Thank you.
So that thank must you, be a you. Big change and progression forward. So big congratulations to you. And of course, we've got Wade Allen. He was also recently promoted to the president of Costa Vida, and he's been part of the board, and he was here last year as well. So Wade, thanks for being here.
Yeah, love it.
So moving on, you know, I've been ringing this, you know, beating this drum for a very long time that top line revenue solves 100% of business problems. If you have a problem in a business, you can always solve it with money. It's just a matter of, do you have money? If you don't have money, then you have a major problem. Go fix that. But driving top line revenue. So let's get a little bit more into that. Where can operators start investing in order to increase that top line revenue? Yeah.
So the first question, or the first thing, I don't think anybody would say that, hey, you know, like, we don't want to grow top line sales, right? Like, I think so that's
a given.
Yes, mm-hmm. I don't think anybody, or like you ask that question, I think 100 out of 100 will say that, hey, we want to grow it. As far as operations, and I'm not an operator, I'm a technology guy, but I'll chime in. When you think about, I think when we drive traffic into a restaurant and with the intent of like, hey, whoever is coming into that restaurant has an awesome experience so that they come back, right? I think that's where the frequency matters. Like, if you give them a good experience, they're going to come back. They're going to interact with you. I think the operations with all the right tools, systems, capabilities that they need can do an amazing job on that part, right? Because you can always drive traffic into your restaurant through different mechanism. But if you are not able to give them the experience which they can remember and they love, you're probably not going to have them back. And I think that's a big, big challenge in the industry today.
Yeah, you got to get it right before you invite.
Correct.
And a lot of times you get that one-time, you know, guest, you got one-time visit, but there's no residual past that because they come in, have a horrible experience, and they go somewhere else, right?
Correct.
And so it's how you prepare for all that, depending upon whatever it is you're focusing on, LTOs, new technology drivers, whatever that thing is the team truly educated and prepared to execute upon that or not?
I couldn't agree more with that, Kendall, because I've made this transition from being a non-operator to an operator, right? I've gone from a technologist and a marketer to now actually running this brand. And what I'm learning is exactly to the point of, are you prepared? Are you ready? Are you willing to go above and beyond to create a great experience? And right now we have operators need to think about a three-year plan. And my three-year plan is really about ops excellence, because I know that having an excellent operation experience in the restaurant solves most issues, most all problems, right? If I can make it right, if I can make it great, if I can meet your expectations, you're going to continue to come back. And whether that's, you know, when you break that down for me, it's about, are my team members empowered to do the right thing with the guest? Are they engaged so they feel like they want to be there and they're happy? Because their happiness it weighs off on how the guest feels happy, right? I think it's also about brand standards and being consistent. If we have a consistent brand standard and people know it, it helps set expectations and meets those expectations. And then I make sure that our systems and processes are improving and stable. So if we have really good processes and really good systems and they're being executed correctly and the point of sale doesn't crash and the systems work and we're able to capture the right information, the guest's going to have a great experience. And so I think that's how operators drive top line, operational excellence. And if you do those things, the guest is bound to come back despite maybe having a misstep here and there.
But even in that, like what you said, Wade, the collaboration which is needed to be able to get to that point, how do you support the operations team, is like everybody has a role to play in that.
Yeah.
Right. And I think it's like, it's not operations job to take care of, like only operations job to take care of the guest. Yeah, they have a big part to play, but everybody else also plays a critical role. Yeah. In that, yeah. Right?
It's a symphony, right? Everybody has
exactly.
to play a part.
And I think that's where, like, sometimes we get into this, like, oh, it's their job, or it's somebody else's. Like, no, it's everybody's job.
Right. Operational excellence doesn't necessarily imply, I agree with you, right. just what's happening in the restaurant.
Right, correct. That's right.
It's systematic. And what is your brand promise? And what are you trying to, because if you portray a message, whether it's through audio, pictures, visual, your colors, your brand, you need to deliver on that brand promise through operational excellence across
all things.
All things.
And you have to go through all functions within that restaurant too, right? Like, what if you offer something for free, what does that do to labor? What does that do to the amount of bodies needed to produce it? Mm-hmm. We made a mistake recently. We did an LTO. It was an incredible LTO. But after further research, we learned that one of our most complex stations within the restaurant, that it has the most bottlenecks, and if crashes can ruin the entire shift, is the same station that we loaded 3 new menu items on top of for an LTO.
Yeah. Right.
So when you look at it through the perspective of the actual person working that station, it's very challenging.
Yeah.
And it's open for mistakes. And so you have to be mindful of all these details through the eyes of team members, to Pankaj's point, all these different details of what's going to happen when you put more onto that business. And are franchisees or managers willing and ready to pay the extra labor, have the extra bodies on hand to be able to execute whatever that thing is. So I think it's so much bigger than what some people perceive it as. And it's a matter of having all the right people collaborating on that topic or that launch to make sure we're covering all the angles.
So let me kind of repeat that back to you. What I'm hearing is obviously be prepared, but don't screw up the guests that you already have. The ones that are already in there, just focus on them. And make sure that experience is top notch, and then after that, focus on everything else.
Yeah, I mean, I think the way I heard it was, the way that I tried to position was operational excellence in all things.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We live in a world where it's really easy to halfway stuff.
Yeah.
We get it all the time, right? Sloppily put together, disheveled, doesn't care, and the experience just lacks luster. Restaurants are so competitive that I can go next door if you can't make my sandwich right, and the guy next door will make my taco right, and I'll go there instead because the price points are so close. So my plea to my organization was, we have to raise the bar. We have to be accountable to one another. We have to love this brand so much that we're willing to make it operationally excellent across not just ops, but systems and technology, marketing, any HR, anything. It has to be, you know, excellence in all things. If we can do that, we'll create a great experience for both our team or crew members and our guests. That's how I would kind of put that together.
So acquisition and any other ways to, so now let's operationally, we got that down. Some brands may already be there. They're like, all right, we got it. We know we're Chipotle, it's in, out, got it sorted out. What's next? What's the next avenue? What's the next way to increase?
To drive top line, profitability?
Yeah, top line revenue, sure.
Well, I think I'll jump on that one. So I think there's a couple of things you can do. I mean, there's all these things that you can look at, business growth from acquisitions and partnerships and whatever it may be, or different formats. I think if your comp numbers are strong and you've got great sales and great profitability because you're delivering excellently from an operations standpoint, I think that's the time to really start thinking about disrupting your business in the future. What do I got to do? When you know, how do I keep this going, but how do I start thinking about what the future holds and what to do next, right? And push the envelope on that front. And I think further leaning into these channels that are showing promise, right? How do you further us into a different place? I had a call this morning where they were talking about an existing casual dining restaurant that it's kind of quote unquote run out of steam, right? They kind of have fallen off, and the question came, if you were the CEO, what would you do? And the focus for me on that call, when they asked me that question, was the first thing I would do if I was one day in that seat would be, I'd get all my CRM going, I'd get all my marketing going, I'd make sure my operational excellence, but then I'd start innovating in areas that others have played with but haven't really been bold enough to go down the path. Because someone's gonna, once you've got the square, now you gotta go get the next corner, the next angle, the next thing that somebody, that the rest of the restaurant companies aren't doing. Because this is a super competitive marketplace, right?
I think what gets missed a lot too is just the community involvement in your own local community, being engaged in that. I mean, I look at us, it's like, you know, sometimes it's a matter of looking at your roots. We're a sports bar. We're highly integrated with sports. We have celebrity sports involvement. Why aren't we on every jersey in the States? Why aren't we sponsoring every team out there? Why aren't we a part of those interactions? Why aren't we creating that occasion where all the teams want to come, you know, to the Walk-On's brand to celebrate after a game? Like, yes, we have that happening, but why aren't we owning that? Right. And so for us, it's a matter of doing that now. Like, how do we help our franchisees understand the pathway to excel at that? But whatever the brand is, finding the thing that makes your brand special and leaning into that, but with, from a community standpoint. Any business I've done, the operators who have their name that's strong in that community benefits that business. Right. So if you're engaged, you're part of the local events, you're having your own brand presence out there in front of those eyeballs, that makes a world of a difference, because now you have trust and you have people who are going to advocate for you.
Chick-fil-A does that really well.
Right. Yeah. Prime example. Yeah. Prime example.
I mean, restaurants are, I know we're all aspiring. We want to be a national brand. We want to be a global brand. But at the end of the day, restaurants are serving their communities that they're part of. Mm-hmm. So they're truly part of that social fabric. And which is kind of the franchise systems I love, because those franchisee owners are from those communities. And yes, they want to be profitable and make a lot of money and whatever, but part of that, investing that and being engaged in the community, I think that goes a long way. Sure. So
absolutely, so amazing. So next question and topic is going to revolve, again, drilling down on this data. There's obviously data coming from everywhere, all different sources. Some are good, some are bad, but what are the good data sets? What should be paid attention to? And how do we turn that data into top line revenue, growth, elevation of customer experience, et cetera? Where should operators start with? And Wade, you could take that question.
Okay, so I'll kick it off. I know these guys are all smart dudes and they work a lot with data. So I'm sure they're gonna have either similar but maybe slightly different opinions. There's a lot of different data sources. I think it really comes down to what you're trying to accomplish. And at the end of the day, if you're really trying to drive top line sales, because we talked about sales solves, you said it, sales solves 100% of your problems, right? I would say sales solves all ails is what we used to say. But to that point, I think transactional data, identifiable transactional data. So think about your four walls. How do I make the four walls? How do I know what's happening with inside my four walls? So you could use guest reviews, you can use transactional data, you can use loyalty data, you can use online ordering data. If you can get it from the third party players, that'd be great too. The reality is, I don't know if you can. So you're just trying to draw this circle around my restaurant and the information inside of my restaurant. And I wouldn't go down the path of mixing team member or crew members and guest data. I'd keep them separate, but I would really focus on, okay, my guest data, what information do I have that can help me know more about my guests, their recency, their frequency, their monetary value, how do I know more about their price sensitivity, anything like that that can speak to my behavior. And then I would distill that I'd put that in an environment, pick your Teradata, Snowflake, give me four others, I don't know, there's a bunch in there that he knows them better than I do, but some data warehouse. And then I would have an analytics engine or a tool that could roll that data so that I could find the trends and the nuances that exist. Yep. And then I would then monetize, and I would calculate what each of those groups are worth. And then I would say, okay, I want to communicate with these. How many people are communicatable? And then how do I communicate to them? If I can't get them because I don't have an email, a text, a phone number, or some kind of loyalty provider, can I do something at the point of sale when I see their credit card come across my point of sale with a token? Or can I somehow identify these people through a guest review and an email address that I can triangulate against? Because once you have that, now you can start to run consistent outbound communication that says, I know you. I'm going to show you that I know you because I communicated to you with your first name and identified what you did last time or something that says, hey, we know who you are. And then I'm going to show you you're valued with some kind of an offer that's highly, highly relevant. My offer may be richer than yours. His may just be a communication, but something to drive me back in the restaurant. I think those are the big buckets. Organize, get the sources in, organize the right data, stratify it, look at it, monetize it, and then start communicating outbound through different systems. And that does require technology, right? A lot of different types of technology. But at its basis, if you can get to that level, you'll start to drive marketing and top line sales.
Spot on.
Yeah. I think the one thing I would say, and this was a conversation, I think a few years back, we were on a panel discussion. I don't know if it was RLC or FS Tech. The question came up is, why should the guest give you that information? Like, why should they give you any data about themselves? I think the primary reason, my answer was, like, the primary reason is, like, if you are able to take that information or data which they give you to change their experience, then they would be willing to share that information. As long as you protect it, you make sure that you're not using it for anything other than changing their experience. There is a gap between what we expect we are going to do with the data with actually what we are doing with the data. And it's a frustration point, right? You mentioned during this conversation, like, you made a reservation, they had that data, but they didn't know when you showed up, right? So next time when they ask for additional data, are you going to give it to them?
Yeah, sure. Right?
So I think that's the first thing which we have to start thinking about is, like, whatever information, whatever data is being given to us, like, how are we using that data? And then start triangulating that, whether it is, like, creating an attribute table associated with a guest to know, like, what their preferences are, or trying to look at or have a more summarized view, like a lookalike model to know that, okay, this is where we need to focus on because that's what where we are driving more sales. Like, all those things can be done. But I think data has been, like, I think we have so much information about so many things. I don't think we utilize it in a way where it can drive a positive return, right? Sometimes we get in this mad race of, like, hey, let's try to collect as much as possible, the hoarding mentality, but nobody knows, like, what to do with it. So
it just makes the guest mad because you ask them all this information, you don't use it.
Right.
What's the point?
So I think we have to have that balance. And today, the cost is cheap, but in terms of storage. But if you think about, like, cost of holding that data and protecting that data,
yes,
it's significant. Yeah. So you have to be very careful in terms of why you need it, what are you doing, and how are you protecting that data.
Yeah, I think there's also a cultural component to this within your organization of valuing the data,
right,
and actually having the discipline to use it. I can't tell you how many decisions I've seen be made or diagnosis to problems be determined based upon a gut feeling, yes, or maybe one, yeah, report. It's like, wait a minute, we have a way to really dissect this if we have that discipline to sit down and say, let's make a data-based decision versus an opinion-based decision.
And most of the time, the data is collected with that intent, but it's never used for that purpose,
right,
which is the sad,
right,
part of this whole,
I know,
thing is,
I
that
know,
why it's telling us, like, and again, mm-hmm, like, you don't have, like, the data will tell you a story, and now you have to put your experience on top of that to, yeah, do the right thing.
Yeah.
But if you don't use it, then, yeah, why do you need that data?
Recently, you know, we were looking at some data, and it said that there was an issue with our food, right? So people complaining about food. Fine, it happens, right? So that can lead people to say, oh, there's an ops problem. We need to train better. We need to do all these things better. Something's wrong. But really, we followed this rabbit hole, used all the data and access we had, and it developed an insight. And it's the most random thing you'd never expect. But we looked into these complaints from guests. And I agree with Wade, right? Starting with that guest feedback is a big thing because that tells you what you need to know about your brand through the guest's eyes, which is what really matters at the end of the day. But anyways, looking at specific, you know, food complaints, and they started to hit on 6 items, okay? So then you start looking at correlations of these 6 items. Those 6 items all happen to be items that are hot hold items. Those hot hold items happen to be something that doesn't require that much labor or prep. You start following this rabbit hole and you find out that it's also the biggest AVT from a food cost perspective, has the most waste. And again, that leads you to the next question. The next thing you know, we realize that of everything that we prep out of our kitchens, those 6 items are the only 6 items that are not on a prep sheet of any kind. And what's happening is the food quality of those items is sitting out in these hot holes for too long.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's evaporating and causing problems, so on. It just keeps going on and on and on and on and on. And all it really was us having to add 6 items to a prep sheet to help hold people accountable and remind them how to manage that item throughout the day and basically put out less.
That's cool.
And that solves that problem. And now, when done right, it's the highest quality thing you can have. So it's just utilizing, though, that data. Instead of saying that there's a problem, right, without going through that exercise, try to find out where the root is, and then you can make your...
Right. So many opinions, and I've had in the last several weeks as I've been in this role, so many opinions about what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I appreciate the opinions. Everybody has one. What's the data telling us?
Mm-hmm.
And you bring the data in the room, and you read the data, and you go, well, that's different than 4 of the 5 opinions that were shared in the room. So it's almost like I've got to have, like, it is what it is, whether you extrapolate on it or not, but it's truth. It's what's going on. And so, to Kendall's point, I think there's brilliance in let the data lead you, and then when it leads you down a path, you have a better chance of actually figuring out what's truly wrong. Because if you hadn't done that, you would have just quickly gone and retrained the ops
right.
team.
I mean, that's great, and I've been in situations where the data is telling you one thing, and you know, it's like going on the internet and doing a search. Google will tell you whatever you're searching for, whether it's real or not.
Right.
So
right.
You have to also be cautious, because if you're not collecting the right data, then you're going to make some assumptions based on that information that are not correct. So it's challenging. It's very complex, which a lot of times the recommendation is that if you don't have the expertise in-house to analyze and look for those key points, then you should probably ask for help.
Right. And you can't look at just one data set or one viewpoint either.
Yes,
if
exactly.
I just run a PMIX report, and I want to delete a menu item based on upon that, that's not the full picture.
Correct.
Right? There's more data points that have to help make up that final decision.
So get the data, ensure it's actionable. And actually, before that, you mentioned something very interesting. You got to make sure internally the data is valued.
Because
actually,
the discipline.
Discipline. If it's not valued and disciplined, then it doesn't matter. Because if you don't see the value of that, if you don't believe that data is going to help drive operational excellence, or it's going to help drive top line revenue, or if the executives can't put 2 and 2 together with that, then just forget it. Why do that? And I think so that's one thing. And the next thing is just keep asking the 5 whys. Because if you ask why 5 times, typically you get right to the bottom of it. And it's like, oh, that's why.
Right.
Okay, amazing. This was another great, it's amazing to be part of this. I'm so thrilled that you guys flew down here and we were able to do this in person. Pankaj, thanks. Last year we missed you, but it's amazing to have you in here. And I appreciate every single one. The advice that you guys are giving is absolutely insightful, valuable. Truly appreciate it, and I'm absolutely thrilled to be among you guys. So thanks for being on the podcast.